Brother Elijah, you come. He's going to preach God's word for us. Hope you have your Bible ready. And I'm thankful for young men. How old are you?
19.
Oh, my goodness. You are young. Hallelujah. Come on over here. I would have never guessed it. You carry yourself older than that. And that's a good thing.
Praise the Lord.
You've been maturing in the Lord. We are praying for you. We had a prayer meeting. Him and I had a prayer meeting before church tonight. And we prayed that God would be glorified. It doesn't matter if you're 19 or 79.
Yes.
This is the message.
Amen.
Right? I'm not the message. He isn't the message. Excuse me. My old English break. That's right. My old English breaking out. But this is the message.
Amen.
So let's listen to the messenger, and he's going to give us God's word. And thank you for your willingness to preach for us tonight. And we're praying for you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, Brother Elijah. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. I don't take an opportunity like this lightly. I am humbled that the Lord would use someone like me, just a broken sinner who he so graciously saved. And I praise God for that. I'm not sure how to feel about that reaction that I'm 19. I'm not sure if it's because you guys think I look older. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but I'm just kidding with you. But well, praise God. Thank you all for being here tonight, and thank you, Pastor Turner, for this opportunity to open God's Word. It's never something that should be taken lightly, is the sharing of God's Word. Turn to Exodus chapter number 14 tonight. That's where we'll be. Exodus chapter number 14. And I'm just going to share a little bit about myself. My name is Elijah Wheeler, and I'm a sophomore studying HVAC at Crown College. And if you don't know what that is, that's air conditioning. It's a trade program that they offer. And the Lord's put it on my heart to preach. And so I'm also going to be studying pastoral after. And I'm a little bit about myself. I grew up in a Christian home. For the longest time as I can remember, we were in church and attended pretty faithfully. My dad was Navy, so we moved around a lot. We weren't in a certain area for more than 4 years. So I was born in Washington State, moved to Hawaii, moved back to the mainland, and that's pretty much my story. I'm just bouncing back and forth. And we ended up in Jacksonville, Florida. That was my dad's last duty station, and that's where my family is now, and where I call home. And when I was a little kid, I made a proclamation of faith that I don't remember. I only remember from my folks telling me, my parents and family telling me, yeah, you're saved. You made a proclamation of faith. You came in front of the church and said that you were saved. And that's how I remember being saved. And I remember growing up with just so many doubts, especially being a teenager, doubting and so many questions. Why am I here? What is the point? I didn't understand God. I didn't understand the Bible. I didn't understand Jesus. And truly, I wasn't saved. And I remember hearing a message preached out of Revelation 21 and 22. And if you don't know what that is, that's a book about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's the very end. It's the end times, describing what's going to happen at the end times. And we can have comfort through that. And it was about the new heaven and new earth that God's going to create one day. And I remember reading and hearing a message given by someone who was in a college and career class. He gave that message to us. I remember hearing it and knowing for a fact that night if I died, I would be in hell for an eternity. I wouldn't be on the new heaven and new earth with Christ. I'd be wishing I was in hell for an eternity. And I was terrified. And I knew that night I needed to be saved. And honestly, I was too scared to talk to Brother Artie. I was too scared to talk to my parents or youth pastor. And I'd encourage you tonight, if you're struggling with your salvation, if you're 99% sure that you're saved, there's still that 1% of uncertainty. And that could be the very reason that sends you to hell. And I pray that you will get that settled with the Lord tonight. And if you need to talk to anybody, please don't be scared. Don't be scared to talk to your youth leaders. Don't be scared to talk to Pastor Turner. Don't be scared to talk to anybody. The whole church will rejoice. Heaven will rejoice. The angels will rejoice. The Lord will rejoice if you get your salvation settled, if you trust in Christ. And I remember that night, I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. And this verse kept popping up in my head. And I'll share it with you. It's See, I know it by memory, but once you get up here, you forget everything you know. So it's usually how it works. It's Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that verse kept ringing through my head. I knew who Christ was. I knew who Jesus was. And I believed in his death, burial, resurrection. And I cried unto the Lord, and he saved me.
Amen.
He reached his hand down from heaven, and he saved my soul from an eternity in hell. And I praise God for that. And it's only by His mercy that I was saved that night. And camp truly changed my life. I'll speed things up a little bit. I surrendered to ministry at camp, and I surrendered to preach at camp. And shortly after I did, my parents and my family moved to Libby, Montana. So if you're not familiar, this is the United States. Let's say Florida's down here. Libby, Montana is up here. Across the whole entire United States. And my grandparents were actually up there. And we moved up there. And I quickly realized there was no good Bible preaching church up there. And our family suffered because of it. And that's when the Lord put it on my heart. Someone has to go and plant a church. And we were praying fervently for church planters. And God sent the Grovers, a family who planted a church in Libby, Montana. And we praise God for that, how He's so particularly, and He orchestrated that. He worked all of that out. And we praise God for that. But God put it on my heart to church plant, and I applied at Crown College, and I've been there since then. And God has truly been using that tool in my life. Bible College is a great tool that God will use in your life, and He used it in mine. And so that's just a little bit about me, and now I'm just seeking the Lord's direction. But if you have your text tonight, Exodus chapter number 14, we're going to start in verse 1. Just a little bit of context, here we read about the Israelites. They have been freed from Egypt at this point in this text. They've been freed from Egypt after 430 years, after many, many years of torture and slavery and suffering. They were freed from Egypt. And the Lord, if you remember correctly, the Lord put 10 plagues over Egypt. And Pharaoh was finally like, that's enough. That's enough. We'll read about that a little later. But if you turn back a little bit to chapter 12, verses 31 and 33, Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 and 33, the Bible says, "And he called for Moses and Aaron by night." And this is after all of the plagues. It says, "And he called for Aaron and Moses, Moses and Aaron by night, and said, 'Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also.' And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We be all dead men.'" And so they started to fear what God was going to do to them. So they pretty much said, "Pack your bags, get out. We don't want you in here." And so the Lord brought them out of Egypt. And their firstborns were spared in the Passover. If you remember correctly, they put the blood or the lamb of or the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, and the angel of death passed over those houses. And that's a beautiful representation of Christ. And the Lord guided them through the wilderness until they get here, the beginning of the miracles of God to the Israelites. This is really what started it all, aside from being freed from Egypt. This is what started it all, was passing through the Red Sea. And we're here reading about this now. And let's go ahead and start in verse 1, chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, 'Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say unto the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord.' And they did so. And it was told of the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of the Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?' And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him." So at this point in the text, they're questioning, why have we let them free? And so they get these chariots, and they assemble these chariots and soldiers and warriors, and they go after them. Verse 7 says, "And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea besides Pihahiroth before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, 'Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?'" Verse 12, Is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Verse 13, and get this. Verse 13 says, And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your mercy that you've extended to us, that you've given us. We thank you, God, for your Son that you sent to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray we will never take your Son's death in vain. I pray, God, we will meditate upon it daily, Lord, and forgive us if there's ever been a day where we haven't thought of the suffering that he went through to save us of our sins. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for sending your Son, that he so willingly died on the cross for us and was buried and rose again, and he lives evermore, and he's alive. We know he is on the right hand of you now, and we thank you for that, God. We pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this room, there's anyone in this congregation who knows not you of their personal Savior, God, that you would reach down and touch their heart, that they wouldn't leave this place without knowing you as their Savior and knowing of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you will hide me behind your cross. I pray that you will use me as a mouthpiece, and that all I say will be of you and not of myself. Fill me with your Spirit, God, and use me in this hour to preach your gospel and preach what you've put on my heart. I pray as the word of God is opened, so will the hearts of all these people be opened, that they will be open to receive what you've given me to give them. I pray, Lord, that we will all learn and grow from this text. And in your holy and gracious name, we ask these things. Amen. And so we see here that the Lord freed them from Egypt, as we talked about earlier. And at this point, the Egyptians are pursuing them. They're chasing after them. And so let's get some perspective here on where they are in this text. I'm going to slaughter this name, but Pahaharoth. It's almost like you're laughing when you say it. Pahaharoth. It was essentially a range of rugged rocks that were impassable. So they wouldn't have been able to pass through those rocks, go through those rocks. They would have lost people. The Egyptians would have caught up with them and killed them and brought them back to Egypt. And the other one, Baal-zephon, and I realize how southern I sound when I say that, Baal-zephon. Baal-zephon is where many people believe that the enemy fortresses were for the Egyptians. So they had Pihaharoth and Baal-zephon to escape to. Okay, those are their options, right? In front of them, the sea was before him. The Red Sea was before them, and the enemies were behind them, and they knew they couldn't turn back. And out of all these options, the least likely option would be the Red Sea, right? I'm sure there were some people who were just tempted to say, you know what, we're just going to turn back, and we're just going to surrender. They even said it here in verse 12. It said, for it had been better us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And so they don't want to die in the wilderness. They're like, I'm not going to die out here. There's bears out here. I'm sure, I don't know about bears, but we're not going to die in the wilderness. That'd be a terrible death. We'd rather be serving the Egyptians. At least we'd have life if we served the Egyptians. They never considered the impossible. But may I tell you tonight, God can do the impossible. God is a God who can do the impossible in our lives. And the least expected outcome was the very outcome that God made a way through. And we read that, if we continue on, we read about Moses stretching out his hand over the Red Sea and the Lord causing the sea to split and them to walk through on dry land. And just a quick reminder, they were following the Lord. The Lord had led them out of Egypt. They were following the Lord. The Lord was using Moses, so they're following Moses, and Moses was following the Lord. So they were all following the Lord, yet they were still troubled on every side, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:8. And may I remind you of this? You may be in God's will and have trouble. In fact, that's when the devil will try to attack you most, is when you're in God's will. So don't think because you're in God's will, you're exempt from trouble, because that's when Satan's going to attack you the most, is when you're in his will. When is God's will ever been easy? And I'd like to challenge you with that. When has God's will ever been easy? And just a side note, but we see here the Israelites' reaction. They started to blame Moses. They were like, you've led us out here to die. It'd be better that we'd go back into the hands of bondage, into slavery, into the Egyptians' hands, than to die out here. And they were so panicked. They were so panicked, and they were so frazzled that they didn't know what to do. They were freaking out. Excuse my metaphor, but they were like a chicken running around with their head cut off. Have you ever seen that? That's pretty graphic. But they're just running around, a headless chicken, you know, squawking. What are we gonna do? They were panicked. They didn't consider the impossible. They didn't consider what God had for them. And because they were panicked, they couldn't even let God work because they were so panicked. And I believe God, the Lord, gave Moses these words to say that we read in verses 13 and 14. Let's read that again. And Moses said unto the people, verse 13, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And I read this as I was studying this morning. I read this. And these three words, or these three things that Moses challenged the people of Israel with, spoke to me. And I truly believe if you want God to deliver you from what you're facing, from the impossible, from the parting of the Red Sea, from the hand of the enemies, what may seem impossible, if you want God to deliver you and to save you from your trouble, in order to see God work in your life, you must do these three things. Number one, you must fear not. Fear not. The first thing that Moses said to them, fear ye not. They were afraid in verse 10 we read. It says that the Egyptians marched after them and they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. They were paralyzed with fear. They knew their enemy who had just held them captive for 430 years, they knew their enemy. They knew the strength and the power of their enemy and the captivity that they were held in. And they didn't want to go back. They were scared. They were sore afraid. And they realized how feeble they were and how they had nothing to defend themselves with. It says in verse 7, it says, "And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them." And so all of these chariots, all of these soldiers, all of these captains are coming after them. They know their enemy, and they know that they can't fight these enemies on their own. They might be able to throw a few rocks at them, but they're going to get killed. They're going to get taken back to Egypt. They can't fight these enemies on their own. And let me remind you tonight, without Christ, we are nothing. Without God's help, without God's power, we are nothing. We can't be used of the Lord. It's impossible. We're better off as those Israelites standing there like deer in a headlight. They didn't know what to do. They were paralyzed with fear. And let me remind you of this too. When we fear, we are giving place to the devil. When we fear, we're giving place to the devil. We're letting him have a foothold. Are you fearing today? Are you letting the devil have a foothold? And the door that should be shut to the devil completely, the door should be shut to the devil. But are you letting him have just a little foothold because you fear? I think I just kicked some maracas. That was strange. Satan wants us to fear. You can't fear and have faith. Let me say that again. You can't fear and have faith. You could fear God, but you can't fear the enemy and have faith in God at the same time. No man can serve two masters. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear," listen, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind." 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." That perfect love being Christ's love, perfect love casteth out fear. Do you have the love in Christ? Do you have the love of Christ in you tonight? Then you have no reason to fear. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 27:1 says, it's a psalm of David. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Whom shall I fear? If the Lord is your strength tonight, who do you have to fear? Psalm 118:6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And may I ask you tonight, is the Lord on your side? If the Lord's on your side, you have everything to fear. But if the Lord is on your side, you have nothing to fear. What can man do unto you? And 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Are you casting your cares upon Christ? Are you afraid tonight? Fear not. If you have the Lord on your side, you have nothing to fear. But if you don't, if you're not saved, if you don't have Jesus Christ living inside of your heart, if you haven't been washed in the blood of the precious Lamb, God's precious Lamb, you have something to fear. And my friend, that place is called hell. It's a place that was created for the devil and his angels, not for you. It's a place created for the devils and his angels. But let me tell you some good news. God sent his only begotten Son, his only Son, and he came down on this earth and he lived a perfect life. And he died on the cross for our sins, bearing all of our sin and shame. He died on the cross for our sins. Amen. And let me tell you something. Your name was on his mind when he died on the cross. Your name. Joel Dacu, your name was on his mind. Ben Turner, your name was on his mind. Sarah Rosman, your name was on his mind. He died for each and every one of us. That if we believe in him, we can have eternal life. And not only that, he was dead for 3 days. He was in the grave for 3 days, wrapped in grave clothes. He died. He gave up the ghost, and he was dead for 3 days. But on that third day, he rose. And he rose, and that grave was empty. That tombstone was rolled away, and that grave was empty. Jesus Christ rose. He died, and he rose for our sins. And he's alive right now on the right hand of God, and he's knocking at your door. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus Christ is knocking on your door. Open the door to your heart. Be saved. Accept Jesus Christ's free gift of salvation. He died for you. Why would you not accept that? It reminds me of this analogy I heard. This doctor had this cure to everything, to every single cancer, every single thing, and he offers it to this man. And this man says, "Why are you giving me this? Why are you giving me the cure to everything?" And this doctor had devoted his whole life to come up with this cure. And he said, "Why are you giving me this?" He said, "Because I love you." And may I tell you, the cure to every single one of your problems, the cure to an eternity in hell, is Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And all you have to do is believe in him. Just like that, you'll be saved. He will save you from an eternity in hell. Fear hinders faith. Are you afraid tonight? Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Trust in Jesus Christ. Fear hinders faith. Trust in God. Secondly, I like to point out the second thing that Moses said. The Bible says in verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, stand still." Now, I have ADHD, if you couldn't tell. I'm very all over the place all the time, and these college students can tell you that. I'm all over the place. I get random spurts of energy, and I want to bounce off the walls. And I can't have coffee for that reason. I drink tea, which still, you know, gives me a little bit of woo, you know. But I have ADHD, and it's hard for me to stand still. And I remember growing up, when I do something bad, my dad would lecture me, and he'd say, "Son, look me in the eyes and stand still." And I'd be like, "I can't." It was so impossible for me to stand still and look my dad in the eyes. And even then, you know, if you've ever been lectured by your parents or your father, and I love my father, and I praise God for him, but if you've ever been lectured by your parent, it's really hard not to laugh for some reason. I really think that's the devil, but it's really hard not to laugh, you know, when they're saying, "Stand still," and you're just looking at them. But it's very hard for me to stand still because of that. But God tells us to stand still. And if you're here tonight and God tells you to stand still in the battle and in the storm that you're facing, what seems to be impossible, if you're here tonight and there's a Red Sea in front of you that only God can split open and make a way, if he told you to stand still, would you stand still? But it reminds me of I don't know if you guys have ever had a bee land on you. It's the scariest thing ever. Even a wasp, because wasps, they can sting you multiple times. Bees, they sting you and they're dead. But it reminds me of having a bee land on you and someone around you is like, "Stand still! Hold still, don't move," because what happens if you move? You freak out like, "Whoa!" You know, and the bee goes and it stings you, and you're like, "Ah!" You know, and then your head's swollen, and you have to go to the hospital if you're allergic. But what are you to do? If a wasp lands on your shoulder, you stand still, and the person next to you, oh, hopefully there's someone next to you. If not, you're on your own. Sorry, out of luck. But if there's someone with you, you know, they flick it off your shoulder, and you're like, "You saved me. You know, it's just a little bee sting. But that's what we're to do. When the enemy's on us, when the enemy's attacking us, when there's threat, when there's danger in our lives, when there's a challenge that we're faced with, that we know not what to do, we can't trust in our own wisdom. We are to stand still and let God move. This summer at summer camp, the girls at the Passage, the girl counselors, they sang this song called Stand Still and Let God Move. They talked about how standing still is hard to do, but when you do it, God will bless you for it and God will work. When you stand still, you're allowing God to work. When we try to fight and run and do things in our power, it hinders the work of God. Are you standing still tonight? Are you letting God move? We must stand still and let God work. Stand still so you can hear the voice of the Lord. Stand still so God can work. Leave it to God. Sometimes in life, and I struggle with this so much, I want to do things my way. I say, Lord, I want to do things my way. And can you imagine what would happen if the Israelites said that to the Lord? If Moses said, stand still, and they said, no, we're doing things our way. You know, they pick up some sticks and rocks, and you know, they're going to get beaten, and they're going to get brought back to Egypt. It's the same thing with our lives. God commands us to stand still and let him work. What is the next thing? It says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So we're to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He will deliver you. You just have to stand still and let him work. Let him move. God's not going to work if you're not standing still. Leave it to God. Put it in his hands. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we're going to be in a few different places tonight. And I believe this is for me. I hope so. All right, thank you, Pastor. John chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 5, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Yet another thing that seemed impossible, but God did it. John chapter 6, verse 5, it says, when Jesus then lifted up his hands and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad there which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they? What are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in the number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed unto the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and the likewise of the fish as much as they would. And then when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, and nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And we see here a beautiful picture, and a beautiful picture. If you read in verse 11, it says, and Jesus took the loaves. So essentially the disciples were like, we only have 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, and we have 5,000 people to feed. This seems impossible. They had to put it in Jesus' hands. They had to give the 5 loaves. They had to give the 2 fishes. The small amount of things that they had to take it and put it into Jesus' hands. The Bible says Jesus took the loaves, but they had to give it to Jesus. And what did he do? What did he do with those 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He multiplied them. It says here in verse 13, together they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over above unto them that had eaten. And so they had more than they needed. The Lord took what was given to him, what the disciples gave to him, and he multiplied their need. If you're here tonight and you're holding on to something, so dear, some issue at home, some issue at work, something that's going on in your personal life, may I encourage you, hand it over to Christ. Put it in Jesus' hands. Put it in Jesus' hands. No matter how little it may seem, no matter how big it may seem, hand it over to Christ and see what he's going to do with it. Because I can promise you, we can do nothing, nothing without Christ. We can do nothing if we try to work things out, sort things on our own. And that's something that has just been so truthful and so prominent in my life. Are we giving these things to Jesus? Are we putting them in his hands and letting him do his work? We read here that he multiplied what they had, just a small amount, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Why? Because they handed it over to him. What do you need to hand over to Jesus tonight? What do you need to put in his hands tonight? May I encourage you, put it in his hands. Put it in his hands. If there's one person you can trust, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Put it in his hands and let go of it. Leave it there. Don't take it back. Could you imagine if the disciples put it in Jesus' hands and said, you know what, we don't have faith, and they take it back? How hurt Jesus would be because they didn't have faith. Yet how many times do we, and I'm guilty, I'm preaching to myself here, how many times do we put it in Jesus' hands and say, you know what, I don't have faith, and take it back? The disciples had to have faith to put it in Jesus' hands and leave it there. Put it in his hands. God doesn't need us to accomplish his work. But oh, how amazing it is that he uses us. Sometimes we just need to stand still and let God work. We need to put it in his hands. Let God move. When you don't know what to do, fear not and stand still. The Bible says in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And this has been something that God has been speaking to me about. If you recall earlier, I shared that I've been praying about planting a church somewhere. And I have that desire that God's given me, but it's so hard sometimes because I just want to go out there. But I know if I go out there right now, I'm just going to make a mess of everything. If I try to do things in my own power and in my own timing, I'm just going to make a mess of everything. May I encourage you tonight, wait on the Lord. Psalm 37:34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And oh, how does this apply to our text here in Exodus 14. And Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Maybe you're here tonight, you're trying to do things on your own. You're trying to sort all your problems out. You're trying to work things out in your own way, which may seem wise in your eyes, but it's not in the eyes of the Lord. You just need to be still and know that he is God and that his way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. Put it in the Lord's hands. When you're fighting a battle, stand still and give it to God. He will fight for you. Psalm 62. Go ahead and turn there for me. Psalm 62. This is an incredible passage that God has used in my life. Psalm 62. The Bible says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Fear not. Stand still. And let God move. And lastly, I'd like to point out tonight, and then I'll be finished. Lastly, I'd like to point out, go back to Exodus chapter 14. The last thing that Moses says to them is, see the salvation of the Lord. He says, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And what is seeing the salvation of the Lord? That's having faith in God. Seeing the salvation of the Lord, that he will deliver you. Standing still and seeing God work, that's having faith. You cannot deliver yourself from your enemies, from Satan. Victory is promised through Jesus Christ alone. Have faith. And notice the way of deliverance through the Red Sea. It's an unlikely option, but God still made it a way. Out of all the options that they had, I bet they didn't expect the Red Sea to be one of them, but God still made a way. And we might not know how God will work or move, but we must have faith. Do you have faith in God? Do you rest in his promises? Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for ye have said, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When was the last time God's word and the promises in it were enough? Were enough for you to just trust and obey him? Sometimes we often need a sign, and we often need something from God to show us what to do. But what happened to trusting in God and trusting in his word and having faith in him and seeing the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today? And may I say this, if you don't know the salvation of the Lord, If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will show you today. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Have faith in the God who formed you. Have faith in the God who loves you. Have faith in God who sent His Son for you and who keeps you alive. Lamentations 3:22 through 26 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." The only thing stopping us from taking our last breath on this earth is God's mercies and His grace. And if you're here tonight and your heart's still beating and you're still breathing, at least I hope it is. If you're here tonight and that's the case, God still has a plan for you. You still have a race to run. Whether you're an unsaved person or whether you're a saved believer, God still has a race for you to run. God still has a plan for you. Are you going to fear not? Are you going to stand still? And are you going to see the salvation of the Lord? Do we have faith in our great God? We have no excuse not to. Lastly, I'd like to point out verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. Hold your peace. Stop trying to do it your way. Stop trying to tell God what to do. And stop trying to make your will fit into God's will. That's not the case, my friend. And I'm guilty of that. When was the last time you stood up and you stood still and let the Lord fight for you? Can you think of a time where you've ever stood still and let God fight for you? Do you go in swinging like a banshee, trying to fight your own fight? When was the last time you stood still and let God move and saw the salvation of the Lord? Can you think of it? David could not defeat Goliath without faith in God. Every odd was against him, it seemed. Little David against giant Goliath. Goliath had the muscles, he had the tools, he had the weapons. But David had something Goliath didn't, and it was faith in the one true living God. Do you have faith in God tonight? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." And I'd like to point out that in verse 21 it says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." Verse 22, "And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses in his chariots and his horsemen." Verse 24, "And it came to pass that in the morning watched the Lord, looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel." Listen, "For the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." Your enemy knows who's fighting for you. Your enemy knows who's fighting for you. When will you stand still and have faith in God, and have faith that He will perform the impossible? And what do you need to get victory over? Have you done these things? Have you stood still? Have you had faith in God? I believe the Israelites would have never been delivered. They would have never been delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians, out of the wilderness, if they didn't have faith in God and they didn't stand still and let God move and see the salvation of the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to believe in Him, or it is impossible to please Him. If you need deliverance tonight, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just simply have faith in Him. And may I say this, you can never have deliverance from your enemies if you don't first have Christ. I believe that there is a beautiful picture of salvation in this text. Egypt is a representation of life without Christ. You're in bondage to sin, and nothing can free you but the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe the Red Sea is the blood of Jesus Christ in this passage. They passed through, and they were delivered out of the hands of death. They passed through the Red Sea, the blood of Jesus Christ. They trusted in God. And they could only pass through the Red Sea with faith. If they didn't have faith, they couldn't pass through the Red Sea. They wouldn't have been delivered out of the hands of the enemy. I believe that the Red Sea is something that we have to pass through faith in Jesus Christ, if we want to be saved. And we must believe in Jesus and His great sacrifice. Acts 16:31 said, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Pass through the Red Sea tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you say, "I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm scared. I'm scared of going to hell and spending an eternity separated from Him." May I say this? Pass through the Red Sea of the blood of Jesus Christ. have faith in him and believe that he died and rose again 3 days later and that he lives and that he can save your soul, and you'll be saved from the hands of the enemy and you'll be delivered. And we see here that they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And truthfully, the Israelites didn't have to be in the wilderness for 40 years, but because they didn't believe God, because they didn't have faith in God, because they kept going back to their old ways, they were kept in the wilderness for 40 years. And maybe here tonight, and you say, you know what? I'm in the wilderness. I'm struggling to have faith in God. You're saved, but you're struggling to have faith in God. And you need deliverance to the promised land. May I say to you, have faith in God. This is not your battle to fight. Give it to the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just simply follow the Lord and have faith that he will deliver you to the promised land. And lastly, I'd like to talk about Canaan, a picture of the victorious Christian life. It is full of God's promises. It isn't perfect, but it's where God wants us to be. It's the victorious Christian life we can live if we simply fear not. We simply stand still. And if we simply have faith in God and see the salvation of the Lord. Where are you today? Are you still on the other side of the Red Sea? Are you unsaved? Are you needing to pass through the Red Sea? Maybe here tonight you say, I'm saved, but I'm struggling to have faith in God. I'm struggling to give this to God, whatever I'm struggling with. And I keep going back to my old ways. May I challenge you, stand still and have faith in God, who is able to do the impossible. Choose to live in the promised land, in the victorious Christian life. You can. Where are you today? Stand still and see the Lord's salvation and deliverance. I'd like to give you one more verse tonight. One more verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 10:31. 2 Corinthians 10:31, if I'm correct. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, there is no 2 Corinthians 10:31. I was right, 1 Corinthians 10:31. All right, thank you, Pastor. That's not the verse I was looking for. But the Bible says, there hath no temptation. I believe that's somewhere, but there are no temptation taking you that is such as is common to man, but God hath made a way for you to escape. And I'm loosely quoting that, but the point is that God will make a way for you to escape. There is no temptation that none of us struggle with. I can promise you that whatever you're struggling with tonight, the person next to you has struggled with it or is struggling with it. And the point is that there is no temptation that isn't common to man. Everyone struggles with these temptations, but God has made a way for us to be delivered from them. God has made a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to pass through that Red Sea. I need to be saved. I need to be washed in the blood of the perfect and holy Lamb. May I challenge you tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're here tonight and you say, I just need to stand still and have faith in God and see the salvation of the Lord, do so. Stand still and let God work. Stop trying to fight the battle by yourself. You can't. You won't. You'll fail. Stand still and let God move. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for this wonderful night that you've given us. I thank you for this opportunity you've allowed me to preach and open your word. And God, I pray if there's anyone in this room tonight who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that they will pass through the Red Sea, that they will be washed in the blood of the Lamb that was offered so graciously, that they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray, God, if there's one here tonight, that they will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Out of the hands of the Egyptians, out of the hands of the devil, out of the bondage of sin. And I pray, God, if we're here tonight and we're saved, and we're battling something, we are struggling, I pray that we would just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will bring today if we let him stand still. Lord, help us with this message. I pray that we will continually challenge our hearts with it. We pray these things in your holy and gracious name. Amen.
Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you stand, please, if you're able to? Brother Elijah, thank you for the message. Would you stand down here in the front, Brother Elijah, for me? Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have an invitation. God spoke to your heart about something. This is a message from the Lord, from this messenger who did a great job. God's word changes our lives. You might be here tonight, you don't know Christ as Savior. I realize we're in a crowd, but you do realize that Jesus hung on a cross basically with nothing on. Didn't even look like a human being by the time everybody was done beating him. He hung on that cross so you could be saved and I could be saved. If you're not saved tonight, I believe in this room, this many people, there's probably one, maybe two, three, maybe who knows how many. But Elijah's down here in the front. Brother Elijah's down here in the front. You say, I'm not saved, and I need somebody to open the Bible and show me how to be saved, and I want to get saved tonight. Would you come? Would you come? You say, I'm already saved, Pastor Turner, but I need to come use the altar and pray about something. Why don't you come? The altar's open. Brother Elijah's going to stay here, though, until we're done. If you're not sure you're saved, just come down here and let him know. I'm not sure I'm saved. Otherwise, just go ahead and find a place to pray. Maybe somebody's on, the Lord's laid somebody on your heart. There's several great needs that are on my heart right now. We must pray. We must bring them to the Lord. Stand still. Wait on God. Trust the Lord with it. Would you come as God spoke to your heart? Thank God for this message. Have another verse. Oh, don't walk out of here tonight lost. We're not saying that we're going to talk into something, but we'd love to show you from the Bible how you can know that you're on your way to heaven someday. Folks, this life's very short, but eternity, it's eternity. You can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. What's that? That's nothing. Don't let the devil tempt you or deceive you and leave here tonight lost. God's speaking to your heart. Respond. I have one more verse that'll conclude the service. As someone comes, praise the Lord for how he's working. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this meeting tonight. We thank you for every part of it, from the very first prayer until this one, Lord. We thank you for speaking to us by your Spirit through the Word of God. Thank you for the singing and these young people that have come and given us a couple of days of their life, Lord. I thank you for them investing in, in us, Lord, and I pray that we've done the same for them. Father, I pray you continue to do your work, and thank you for the time of fellowship we can have now. And draw us closer to you, Lord. I pray for that one, that two or three or more that are still lost and not on their way to heaven, that they would even speak to someone during the fellowship time. In Jesus' name, amen.